You know, when you think you have like this great idea, you're gonna get an early start on shit, but then you realize everyone else may have that same fucking thought. Early start. What is it? Early bird gets the worm. Well, this bird was trying to cash in some recycling. Get here to the recycle zone. I can't. I'm lined up just to get into the place to sort my shit. Start the shit.
You're not about that life, champ. I can see it.
Game over, man. Game over.
He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk.
Come on. Playoffs? You kidding me?
Cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. I want winners. Here we go.
Playing to win the game.
That was one heck of a timeout.
I mean, listen, we're talking about practice.
Ron is in trouble.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
EA Hunter sarcastically speaking about sports podcast.
What is this? January 16th, 2020. Yeah. How many cars are even in front of me to even get into the fucker? I want to say at least five. A part of me wanted to just turn around and go back home, but I went through all the trouble of getting all the cans and load them in the back of my car. I made my car dirty. I don't want to redo it. I'm in it to win it, man. I'm in it to win it. What's going on, man? I'll tell you what's going on. What's going on is Corona's still around, still fucking up the world. I mean, they're slowly but surely opening things up. Gyms are open, but not mine. I think we've already touched on that. Not my gym, because I'm unlucky and I want it to be open, but it's not. So what are you going to do? I'm going to bitch about it. That's what you're going to do. What I'm doing. Yeah. Yeah, that NBA thing with the bubble. They're hitting some hiccups now with this shit. And everyone was all gung-ho. Yeah, let's do it. Until the NBA laid down the rules. I'm sure the mouse had a hand in some of these rules. But what were some of the restrictions? They're going to be in a bubble. They're going to have to be sequestered or quarantined or kept away. They're going to have to be in Orlando for what, a couple months to play this? If family comes, they have to be tested and then quarantined. And some players are like, whoa, I didn't sign up for this shit. I didn't sign up. And then you've got other players like Kyrie Irving, who's, you know what, basketball's not that important right now, you know. And, you know, I don't know him, but the persona that Kyrie Irving projects out to the world, I'm not that big of a fan of. He's your classic talented malcontent. You know, I mean, look at the guy's road. Went to Duke, played 1 year, came out, goes to Cleveland. He's there after LeBron has left. Basically carrying the team. Remember when he did that press conference, that little kid? Okay, well, are you going to leave us like LeBron did? And I don't even remember what he said. And then at that point, hey, he didn't leave. He ended up staying. And LeBron came back. And they win a championship. And then he's like, I don't want to be Robin. I want to be Batman. I want my own team. Goes to the fucking Celtics. Starts out good. Becomes cancer. You know, he's telling these players, I don't know what they're doing. He basically wears out his welcome there, forces a trade to the Nets with his buddy Durant. And I don't even think they paid what? They just started the fucking season, and he's already, you know, alienating himself from people. So when he makes the comment that, you know, hey man, we need to do something about this the treatment of black individuals, the killing, the You know, I, you know, hey, he's got a point. And you know what? It's almost just like the whole, that whole Kaepernick thing. Dude, when it started out, Colin, you know, what doesn't make a difference sometimes what your motives are. As long as whatever it is that you're doing ends up creating or starting something positive. And that's basically what Colin Kaepernick has done. Because I was out on him for a while. I was like, yeah, whatever, dude. That dude was about to get, he was about to get cut by the Niners. His career was in the toilet. But what, you know what that was? That was the league has figured out your game. Because when he came in, dude, he was an accurate, he could run his ass off, and he had wheels, but he could throw it on the move, you know, he Harbaugh, you know, the team, pretty good team, was talented. But like I say, dude, man, when you're that big of an offensive weapon and then come into the league and start just lighting it on fire, dude, defensive coordinator's like, all right, you know, they're breaking down film. They're in the game room looking at tape. You know, smoking cigarettes, pointing, he's got a hitch in his giddy up. Okay, yeah. All right, you see that? You see how he bends his left knee? That's how I know he's gonna throw for a 5-yard out. They're doing shit like that. Right? They're gonna figure you out. It's a puzzle. It's not a matter of if, it's when. And once one defensive coordinator figures you out, the rest of the league will imitate that shit. And that's what happened to him. So, but as history shown, what happens? He takes a knee. And apparently he was doing it for a while and nobody noticed. And then somebody noticed and he's like, yeah, I'm just tired of this. Was it systemic racism? You know, police, you know, targeting black men, black individuals. You know, he's growed his afro out. Became Afrocentric, Asiatic, Afrocentric. I'm probably not even using that shit right. And yeah. And now it's, and then 45 turns it into a thing about the flag and yada, yada, yada. My point is that, hey, Kyrie, maybe you're doing it like Cap. I wasn't always with Cap, but I am now. I'm starting to really think that, like, I don't appreciate my blackness. I don't give it the respect it's deemed. You know, I don't, and that's on me, man. I mean, I make jokes about myself being, without a doubt, one of the most watered-down black people ever to live. I mean, and you know, some sellout, you know, I've been married to two women, both white, both my children are biracial. And I think there's something to that. I mean, it cuts back to what does it cut back to? I feel like it was, I started this thought process when the All Lives Matter thing became an issue. When Black Lives Matter, there's a group protesting, you know, the black people trying to look out for black people. Well, and then you'll have people say, well, you know what? It's not just black people. It's all lives matter. And honestly, I was of the same mind. I'm like, dude, let's not separate ourselves, you know? Until it was explained to me that it's individuals, black individuals will take it as when they say Black Lives Matter and then you say all lives, and I take it as, you know, why are you whining? And I didn't get it. And I didn't get it because I live in the white world. I don't appreciate and respect my blackness. Am I scared of it? What's wrong? But you know, not anymore, man. I'm gonna rectify that shit, man. I educate myself. you know? And that doesn't mean I'm gonna turn into this militant, hate everybody, judge, hate every white person, judge every white person. I'm just gonna delve more into my heritage. Because, I mean, it's sad to say that, I had never even heard of Juneteenth. I don't know anything about it until I found out about it on a TV show, Blackish. Had no clue, which is sad to say the least, you know?
So basically, I've been trying to lay this thing down for a week now. Started it. I think I started on a dog walking. I don't know what made me stop. No, I was taking the cans in to get recycled, and then just lost my train. Actually, laid down my critique of the King of Staten Island, which will come after this. I think I want to revisit the whole the my blackness. I've been kind of struggling with it. How I feel like, in a way, the fact that I live in a mostly white world makes me kind of blind to some of the issues that black people have, even though I am a black people or person. You think that this shit, like, that would reach a point to where, all right, come on, let's all kind of like fucking come together and stamp all this racist shit out, but you never will. You know, that's why, in a way, like, you hear about all these organizations saying they're gonna, you know, Jordan steps up, he's gonna donate, $100 million against racism. You companies, you know, saying they're pledging all this money, but I mean, where do you even start? Because it doesn't make a difference how many people you re-educate. It doesn't make a difference, because there's always going to be people that think what they think and justify it in their own mind. I mean, dude, you got sports coming back, NASCAR, what were they at, Talladega? You know, when I say Talladega and NASCAR, what's the first thing you think of? Talladega Nights with Ricky Bobby. But my point is what happens is, black race car driver, what's his name, Bubba Wallace, and first of all, I was getting ready to say something, but I think I've already contradicted myself. I've already proven the statement I was getting ready to say, proven it wrong. How many black Bubbas you know? I'll tell you one. Forrest Gump's best friend, Bubba. Here's Bubba. Who else? All right, let's just get off that tired stereotype. The real reason brought it up is, young man's getting ready to race. Somebody sneaks into his garage and hangs a noose. And you're just like, what the fuck? Seriously. What the fuck? I didn't really know what to say. I'm just like, really? I mean, you gotta have some balls in this day and age to pull something like that. And I'm sure it was one of the dudes. Who knows if it was another racer, a fan, but people pissed off about NASCAR banning the Confederate flag, which, again, for me, there's a part of me that I'm like, I don't care, it's a fucking flag, but it does represent, you know, the South, that it seceded from the United States. They were down with slavery, and that's when people are like, nah, fuck that, get rid of that, just like they're getting rid of all the damn statues and everything that represents anything that even looks like it might be racist, which I'm kind of like, in a way, I think you should keep some of those things because it's a reminder of where we were. and a reminder that so that we won't go back. But there's this overcorrecting that's going on with all this. That, again, it's when I cut back and say that maybe that's the instilled whiteness in me that's talking. The portion of me that's lived in this white world. So I'm struggling with that a bit. And I was trying to talk to my wife about it, but she doesn't really get it. She doesn't get it. Because apparently now they're trying to say, people are saying that, how do we even know somebody hung that? Maybe he pulled a Juicy Smollett, you know? We all remember him from Empire. The kid who would claim to be attacked by racist fans and MAGA hats, and they tried to lynch him and pour bleach on him or something, and then come to find out he set the whole thing up. And they're like, well, maybe he's doing that. You know what? I'm going to fucking choose not to believe he's doing that. I'm not even going to consider that as even an option. No. Because if he did, then, dude, it is what it is. You saw what happened to Juicy. It's Jesse Smollett. It's Juicy Smollett, as Dave Chappelle called him. And there's no way, nothing's ever going to be the same. And them talking about defunding the police? The fuck does that even mean? We're gonna defund the police, okay. So who's going to be out there checking criminals? Who are we going to leave that up to? We're going to hire them? We're going to be vigilante justice? Everybody from everybody? I mean, it makes you think. What's that saying that they say? A society that has gun. When everybody has a gun in a society, it's a more polite society, because you never know when a motherfucker's going to bust a cap. Or can. I don't know what I want to live in that world either. I mean, but in a way, when COVID, because I'm starting to think the second wave is now. Because shit, what they say in Florida, they've had like 4,000 new cases that have popped up in a day for like consecutive days. And let's keep it real. A real reason, we all know why. So everyone's out protesting and rioting, rubbing elbows. What the hell you think's gonna happen? And the California governor says, "Hey, man, look, you can go out. You need to strap a mask." And shut up, man. I'm talking. And I gotta say, man, I am I have gone full circle on this mask thing. I have. There was a time when everything started, the shelter at home, wear the mask. I was a little frightened. Then as time went on, it's like, well, wait a second. wait a second. We're still at home. Well, the numbers are saying it's older people. Wait a second. They're saying that you can have symptoms. They're saying that it's not like you're going to die. Then it was like, well, you know what? I'm not wearing that mask if I don't feel like it. I'll just wear it at work. Now it's more people are getting sick. Younger people are getting sick. And it's incredible. It's true when it's said that, like, something doesn't affect you until it affects you. Meaning that a lot of people didn't know anybody who had COVID. So people were saying, that's not even fucking real. Yeah, well, my boy popped up positive and is legitimately sick too. Which tells me two things. The shit's real. Not that I knew it was. And number two, his immune system must be banged up. I'm just giving him shit. I mean, if you can't bust your friend's balls, whose balls can you bust? And when I say bust, I'm just, you know, literally, not literally speaking. I'm taking a spiked hammer and hitting his balls. So yeah, see, this is going to be a long-ass walk with Flynn today. Because he's got to stop and smell every fucking blade of grass.
You shit there. I'm not picking that up. Not in the least. I don't even know what I think. Recently listening to the Bill Simmons podcast, and he talked to LL Cool J. LL himself. Ladies love Cool James. That's a. Need to get the story behind that nickname. I'm pretty sure he's laid it down on another show. He has to have had. With a name like that. But he laid down two interesting facts. When asked, number one, what his favorite song was. And when they asked him that question, you're thinking he's gonna go to one of the old classics. You know what I'm saying? Mama Said Knock You Out. I'm Bad. You know? Shit like that. But it was Doing It. I'm like, okay, Future of the Funk, L. And he also laid down another interesting fact. Take a listen.
I really do. I think, you know, because you were inspired by others. No matter what it is, you were inspired and learned from others. So it's like, I think it's more about who had the greatest impact on your life personally.
Right.
I think greatness, the real metric is, it's not about greatest basketball player, it's about greatest impact on a certain fan's life. That's what we're really debating. What we're really debating is who had the greatest impact on your life in a specific field. That's why I came up with the term GOAT. I took Earl the Goat Manigault, who was a famous street basketball player. I took Greatest of All Times by Muhammad Ali, and I formed an acronym, G-O-A-T, and made the album GOAT and dropped it in 2000. And that's where the whole GOAT came from, the whole term came from. So—
Wait a second. How did I not know that? I knew you had album name, but I didn't know that you actually created the acronym.
Yeah, but I mean, most people don't know because it took on a life of its own.
Yeah, I just assumed it was there for 50 years.
Nah, you can, you know, we can fact check that. You can fact check that on every search engine in the world.
That's really impressive.
You know,
that's one of the most impressive acronym inventions.
It worked out. It went well for the. It entered the lexicon for sure.
My God.
Yeah, so it's like, so when I said I was the GOAT, I was just talking like, yo, I'm the GOAT. Like, I feel like I'm the greatest of all time, period. Now it's up to you to feel like that for you. I'm clear that I didn't have the greatest impact on every hip hop fan.
So there it is, man. There's the story, the GOAT. I mean, just like Simmons said, I just figured it was something. It was a term. It was in the American lexicon for years. Just something that it just rolls right off your tongue. Everybody like, who's the GOAT? I'm the GOAT. Some people don't know. If you're not like a sports fan, I guess you would know who the GOAT was. I mean, but like when you say GOAT for specific sports, you figure. I think there was some discussions on whether or not Jordan and LeBron, but I think after that 10-part Jordan documentary, I think it's been cemented that Mr. Michael Jeffrey Jordan is the quote unquote GOAT. Yeah, definitely. You talk about football. I think for years it was Joe Montana, but it's definitely Tom Brady, aka TB12, aka the starting quarterback for your Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if they have a season. Who's the GOAT for hockey? I'm not a hockey fan. I don't know. Who's the GOAT for tennis? I don't know. It was Federer for a long time, but you got Federer and Nadal and Djokovic. Those three guys have been on top for a while. I think the female tennis player, the feminine GOAT would definitely be Serena Williams. Greatest of all time. Yeah, definitely.
It's another sport. Baseball. Who's the baseball GOAT? That's a good question. I don't know. I'll leave it for to you guys to discuss. Because I'm done. Sarcastically speaking about sports, B.A. Hunter out.
Productions. You don't know nothing about that. Headhunter.
Headhunter, son.